You have your Bibles. We're going to turn to Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Title of what we're going to talk about tonight is God's End Time Army. Joel said, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare war. Stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. When the word says men, we understand that not in the sense of gender, but in the sense of men as mankind, because they have women in the armed forces in this country now. So when the word says stir up the mighty men, stir up the mighty men and women, let the people of God, draw near, let them come up. In spite of the conditions of this world around us, in spite of the darkness that we see all around us, in spite of the sin that is prevalent on every hand, and in spite of a church that is in slumber, Almighty God is still raising up an end time army that will be the hope for this dark world and will yet push back the darkness that is around us. In this hour, God is raising up an army, a remnant that will arise with his authority and his power. This army that God is raising up right now is an army that will be totally surrendered to God, set apart for God. As we sang this last song, I give my life away so you can use me. This remnant army that God is raising up must be yielded to God, surrendered to God, so that he can wage war through us. He has already won, but this victory in the earth must be secured by God working through yielded and surrendered vessels. Now, many of you know that my wife and I are part of a core team of Ohio Partners for Transformation, which is a regional ministry with a commitment to see transformation in Northeast Ohio and to see this region flipped for the glory of God. And Ohio Partners for Transformation also partners with the World Trumpet Mission, which is an international transformational ministry that God has used to bring transformation in many nations of the world. Ohio Partners for Transformation believe that we have a role to play in this process of seeing lives transformed for the glory of God. Now, I'm going to share with you a testimony from World Trumpet Mission. Many of you have seen this before, but it bears seeing again. Many times I have read this repeatedly for maybe a month at a time and constantly. And the song that we sang, I Give My Life Away, is also based on what we see in this testimony. If we have that testimony, put it up. If we don't, I will read it. Okay, here we go. Now, this is basic, I believe, for this end time army to be so positioned for God to move through us. And when World Trumpet Mission got this commission from God to awaken the nations, they said, we don't know how to do this. So they went before God as to how to make this happen. And this is what God gave them. And this is what he's giving us as well. It says, by yourselves, you cannot do my work. It is only I who can work through you. The most important thing you need is to position yourselves in such a way that I can work through you. This is how you are to do it. First, give me your lives completely. Let it sink into your hearts beyond a doubt that your lives are no longer your own. They are mine. You have no right on your life. You have no permission to use your life the way you want. You have no say on your life. It is mine. I will tell you what to do. I will use it the way I want. I will take it into circumstances I want. And I will demand on your lives what I want. If you humble yourselves and adopt that attitude, then I will work through you. The second thing you need to know is that from now on, there is no reason. Think about this. There is no reason for you to be alive except to do what I have called you to do. It is the only purpose for your life. In other words, if you cannot fulfill your purpose, you would rather die. It's the only reason you're on earth. So whatever you do, whatever you plan, whatever you think, whatever you involve yourself in, it must have one purpose: to fulfill what I've called you to do and to do a good work. The third thing is to adopt unconditional love. This one can be a hard one at times. Don't relate to people because they are easy to get along with. Many times we tend to fall into that trap. Relate with people because I love them and died for them. Don't judge them. Don't undermine anyone. Don't pay back evil for evil. Submit yourselves to love. Now, God says this, says it to us. If you take those three foundational stones and make them the pillars of your life, I will work through you. Your lives will be like an open channel for me. Now, this army that God is raising up must be an army of men and women through whom God himself can work through, because he is the one who wages war through us as we surrender and yield to him. Now, we're going to talk about a few spiritual nuts and bolts of this process of coming into this army of the Lord, this end time army. There are some things we must know. First, we must know who we are, and we must know where we are. We're going to look at First Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 21. And we're going to see something in the Word of God. This is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus. And it's a prayer that we pray for saints today. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. We're going to look at it from the Amplified Bible. This is what Paul says. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep an intimate knowledge of him. Now get a picture of what he's praying. He wants God to grant us a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation, knowledge, and insight into the mysteries and secret and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Next verse. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Now we must know that we are saints. We are the set apart ones unto God. So we must understand and know some things. Next verse. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, next verse, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, Paul is saying, go back to verse 19 a moment. Paul is saying that he wants saints, the set apart ones unto God, to know about the power that God has in and for us. We must understand this power because we have much more authority and power than we understand and realize. That's why he is praying that the Father of glory would give us revelation of it. If it was something that we just catch casually, we wouldn't need a prayer like this, asking the Father to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the deep secrets and intimate things of God. So we must know that we are children of God with this power that is in us. And the only way Paul is saying we can know about this power that is in us is to compare it to the power that raised Christ from the dead. There's a song we sing about that too, I believe, about the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in me. But he wants us to know who we are and the power that we have. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in the saints. And that's how we know that. Go to verse 20 again. And this is the power which God exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Lock that in your mind. Heavenly places. That's key. Next verse. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. So, we get a picture of something. There is supernatural power in Christ that raised him from the dead. And that same power is in us. Christ has been raised from the dead and has been caused to be seated far above some things, far above powers, principalities, and rulers. So he now is in heavenly places with this power from the Father. Now, we also must know where we are in addition to knowing who we are. Now you got the picture. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. Amen. Now look at Ephesians 2:4. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of, in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, that same new life which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Now look at verse 6. Now all, if he did nothing else, what we just read is wonderful, is glorious, but he didn't stop there. The Bible says, and he raised us up together with him, with Christ, and made us to sit down together, giving us joint seating with him, where? In heavenly places, the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now you get the picture. We are also seated in Christ in heavenly places. God has caused us to be raised from the dead, given us eternal life, and given us joint seating with Christ in heavenly places. So if Christ is far above stuff of the earth, then we are also far above things of this earth. Now, God wants this army. He has a purpose and plan for this end time army. There are some things in heaven that must get to earth, and God is dependent upon this end time army to make it happen. There are things in heaven that can dictate things of earth, and we must know how to use this God-given power in earth. We have much more authority in earth than we realize. There are conditions in earth, conditions in my life, conditions in your life that don't yet line up with heaven. That doesn't yet line up, is not in proper alignment with what heaven says about it. But we have the authority as children of God, knowing who we are, knowing where we are, to bring that which is from heaven to earth. That's the assignment that this end time army has. Look at Matthew 16, 19. See, we have authority, and we must understand the authority that we have and begin walking in that authority as soldiers in the army of God. Listen, this is what Matthew said. Jesus is speaking. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of where? Heaven. That's where the happenings are. Heaven. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. Therefore, now there's some stuff in your life, in my life, that is unlawful according to heaven's law. There are some things going on in earth that is contrary to what heaven says about it. And we have the authority to declare things of earth to be improper and unlawful, because heaven says it's improper and unlawful. When the word says that We are healed by the stripes Jesus bore. That in earth must line up to what heaven says. It's unlawful. Sickness and disease didn't come from heaven. Healing and deliverance come from heaven. And we can declare the word of God. And also says, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven and declare it lawful in heaven. So we must know where we are and begin functioning from that place above and function with that authority. Look at Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. See, God is trying to get us to move from this earthbound realm to come up. Colossians says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are where? Above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, Christ is seated at the right hand of God, so where are you seated? Right hand of God. You are in Christ. So it's so vital for us to begin thinking different thoughts, begin getting a heavenly perspective of things of earth, and understand that we have authority over these things in earth. It's time out for us to keep whining about conditions. It's time for us to begin walking in authority over them. We have the God-given authority, and we are coming into a revelation. That's why Paul prayed so earnestly for the saints, that the Father would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It takes revelation to understand this, these deep secret things of God, and to understand who we are. We are much more than what we walk this earth as. We have power, and the power of God residing in us. So, next verse. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above. Higher things, not on things of earth. Now, if we look at things of earth from earth perspective, we will get intimidated, we will be anxious, and we'll be fearful. Because we're looking at it and seeing it from earth viewpoint. But God is saying, and what Joel is saying, come up, come above, get above those things. Because Jesus has been raised to sit at the right hand of God, far above powers, principalities, and rulers. He's above it. And we are above it too. And we must learn and train ourselves. And this is what this army in training is about. We must condition ourselves, our minds, to see earth from heaven's perspective. When we look at things of earth from heaven's perspective, it will not intimidate us. We'll not be anxious or fearful because we will walk in the authority and power that we have as children of Almighty God. You see, we must understand how this thing works. And as we understand that, that's what training is about. In the military, that's what boot camp is about. To understand basics, understand the weapons, understand what we have, and understand how to use it. So we must understand what we have and how this thing works. And when we are in that position above, as children of God, saints of God, set apart for God, we can then call things of earth that be not as though they were. We can see what heaven says about it. Search the word out, see what heaven says, and speak the word of heaven into things of earth, and expect them to conform to what heaven says. We have the authority to do that, and we have to be awakened for that. That's why when Job says, stir up the mighty men, King James says, wake up the mighty men. We have to be woken up. The church of Jesus Christ is in slumber because we don't know some things. We were intended to be God's answer to a lost and dark world. But where the church has found itself in this hour, we have compromised the standards of God. We have allowed the world's standards and conditions to seep into our hearts. We don't know who we are. We have fallen as a church so far from the standard of God. We are in slumber. The church today does not have an answer for the dark world because it's in slumber, helpless, powerless. So when Joel says, declare this among the nations, stir up, wake up. You don't wake up somebody who's already awake. You awake and stir up folks who are asleep. And he says, let the men, women of war come up. Come up from earth to heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3 says, God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We got to get up above this thing, these conditions of earth. Otherwise, we will be ineffective. We must rise above it and take our rightful seat in Christ far above it. Now, we must get to a place where we can genuinely begin imitating God. That's the plan. We must be able, by our knowledge and wisdom and revelation, call things that be not as though they were. Look at it. Deny your right to confront and be contrary to the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, think verse 3. We see how this thing works. By faith, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Now that tells me something, that God himself looked into a condition and he spoke a word, his word into it, and that came into being. Even though it was not visible, he spoke it by faith into being. God called something forth that did not exist. Now, we are awed by God in doing that, and we should reverence God in what he does, but at the same time, we must begin seeing ourselves imitating him. See, from our position in heavenly places, we can speak the word of God into conditions and circumstances in this earth, in your life, in your family's life, and expect it to bow its knee and conform to the word of God. The fact that it does not yet appear or exist is irrelevant. We have the authority and power to speak the word of God and see things come forth that were invisible. And expect to see things conform to the word of God. We can do that from our heavenly position and place in Christ. If we are not living in that place, we will be intimidated by the darkness of this world. We will feel helpless and powerless to do anything about it. When darkness is all around and all you see everywhere is darkness, is sin, is death, it's hard to walk in authority when you're right in the midst of it. That's why we must come up. We must come above it. We must know where we are. This earth, this world, is not your home. It's not my home. We are here on assignment, ambassadors for Christ, to imitate him, to do his will in the earth, knowing that our lives don't belong to us. We've given our lives away to him so he can use us in the earth. We get our orders from heaven. We get the word from heaven. And we expect the word to perform itself in earth. Look at Psalms 119:89. We'll see how this thing works. We'll be done soon. Psalms 119:89 says, forever. That means forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. That everything that's happening is in heaven. That's the happening place. That's where we must be. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, established, firm, immovable in heaven. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 regarding the word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We won't look at it, but drop down to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, who is the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the living Word of God. Understand, the Word is forever settled in heaven. Jesus is the living word of God. Look at 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you tonight, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, let's put some things together to get a picture of this. The word is settled in heaven. Jesus is the living word of God, who is almighty, all powerful. Nothing is impossible for him. And in him is light. No darkness in him. So there is no darkness in the Word. The Word is light. The Word itself is light. The Bible says in Psalms 119, I think 130, it says, in essence, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So when the Word penetrates, light comes. You get a picture of this. You must understand that these are just nuts and bolts for the army. God's word is settled in heaven forever. Jesus is the living word of God. In him is light and no darkness. And the entrance of the word giveth light. Now that says to me, when the word of God is spoken into a dark situation, light is going to penetrate the darkness. And darkness cannot comprehend or overpower the light. Darkness must then be pushed back. So as we understand this thing and take our position and live in this position above in Christ, setting our minds and our affection on things above, having a heavenly perspective of every dark thing in earth, we can then take authority over it. Because when you should listen, the word of God will obey a faith-filled saint of God just as it obeys God. Amen. The word of God contains within itself the power to perform itself. All it is waiting for is for somebody to believe and to speak. When Jesus said in John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And when he went to the Father, he asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit who came to Jesus when he came up out of the Jordan after being baptized by John the Baptist is the same Holy Spirit who fills us. The same power that raised him from the dead is alive in us today. So at some point, we must begin rising above. Take your rightful seat in Christ, in heavenly places, far above the conditions of this dark world. You see, as this darkness increases, and it is increasing, God is not in despair. As this darkness increases around us, thinking and feeling sometimes that is overwhelming us. Conditions of life. Life can get hard. Things around us can get hard. But as that is happening, we can be of good cheer. God is raising up an end time remnant army who are surrendered, yielded to him. Yeah. who know who we are, who will come above, make our abode where the word is settled, and look at circumstances of earth and speak the word of God into it. Speak light into it. The only answer for darkness is light. And as we speak the word, the entrance of the word into anything brings light. And light will push back the darkness. God has a plan. The Bible says, 1 John 3:8, the latter part of it, we have it. Okay, well, we read the whole thing. The B part is what I really want. He that committed sin is of the devil. No argument there. But the devil sinned from the beginning. Now look at this part. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. You came. You have come as a child of God to co-labor with Jesus in the earth and destroy the works of the devil too. Our assignment for this army is to see the works of the devil destroyed. He is no match for the word of God. One word from God kicked him out of heaven. We have much more authority and power than we realize. And it's a prayer tonight, as Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus. It's my prayer tonight for the saints at CNC in Northeast Ohio, that the Father would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that we may have intimate knowledge of the deep secrets and the things of God. Having the eyes of our understanding enlightened, our hearts flooded with light, that we may know some things. And as we know some things, know that we know that we know. The devil's biggest weapon against the church has been slumber and ignorance and blindness. As long as I don't know who I am, where I am, and what I got, I am no threat to the devil. But God is raising up an army that will destroy the works of the devil, and we're going to walk in victory like we haven't witnessed before. Now, just one word of caution. This army will probably not look like we think it might. This army will probably not consist of those in three-piece suits, turnaround collars, robes, and all that. I sense that this army is going to be more like those men who drew themselves to David in Samuel 22. The Bible says that those who came to David and joined his army, they were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. But they had something. They were willing to surrender and be yielded. It doesn't matter what you are, what you have, what you bring, because none of that matters in this army. Only thing that matters is that we give our lives away to the Father. Amen. So he can use us and he can work through us. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, we do honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you yet have a plan. You yet have a purpose, Lord God, for this earth. You are not intimidated by the conditions around us, Father. But you have a mighty plan. And that plan includes us. And Father God, I thank you that in this hour, you are raising up a remnant. You're raising up a remnant in this house. You're raising up a remnant in Northeast Ohio, Father God, of men and women who will know their God. Know their God. Know their God. Because you would have given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord God. And your word says that those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits in the earth. We thank you that we are of that number, Lord God. And we raise our hands as Isaiah did and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I come, Lord God. I volunteer for this army. I give my life to you. I acknowledge that my life is not my own. It belongs to you. I give you permission to use my life as you choose. I give you permission, Lord God, to place my life in circumstances that you choose. I trust you, Lord God. I give my life to you, Lord God, so you can use it. If you need prayer tonight, any area of prayer, come on, we're going to pray. Let's get our altar workers to come. You just may want someone to agree with you in surrender. Yielding to the call of God. You may be saying, yes, I want to be a part of this remnant, this end time army. And I give my life to you, Lord.